So as a teenager, I worked for Camp Iona, Presbyterian Church Camp. One of my favorite jobs there was getting to be a canoe tripper. And we would go, and I know some of you have experience with this, we would teach the kids a lot of stuff right at the beginning. We'd teach them how to pack their clothes so they didn't get wet, how to canoe, just basic skills in flat water, but also usually some whitewater skills. We taught them things like how to manage without indoor plumbing, all kinds of practical things. We also taught them what to do in an emergency, or maybe what not to do in an emergency. If the waters were rough, or if they were going down a set of rapids, for instance, and they felt like they were off balance, what not to do was grab the sides. The hard part is that grabbing the side of your boat is the absolute most natural thing in the world to do when you're off balance. You reach out because you want to find something to hold on to. But in a canoe, the only thing that you're going to hold on to is completely unstable. The gunwales, when you hold on to them, will only tip your boat faster. So before every canoe trip, we always taught the kids, never, ever grab the gunwales. It means dropping your paddle and grab. Don't ever do that. And yet, on just about every trip that we did, someone would find themselves, often in a set of rapids, and they would find themselves surrounded by, water can be really loud when you're in the middle of it, and they would really just completely forget everything they'd ever learned, and they would grab the sides with both hands, and you know what happens next. Seconds later, they are in the water, and their canoe partner is in the water, and all their stuff is in the water. The kids were always safely rescued. We never lost any. We'd always pull them out of the river, and they were usually soggy and a little bit sheepish because they knew they had done what they were told they shouldn't do. Staying calm and using really good technique when you're in the midst of something that makes you panic is a really hard skill to learn. Everybody knows what it is like to panic. It's not just something that happens in a boat. If you have ever lost a child in a large crowd, that causes terrible, terrible panic. Or if you've ever been fired from your job and you are facing financial disaster, or if you're faced with a huge bill that you know you don't have money for, you know panic. And panic has with it come all kinds of physical responses. Your adrenaline surges and you breathe much more quickly. Our hearts pound. Often your thoughts are very disordered in that moment. And it's really hard to stay calm and choose an appropriate and wise course of action. I love what the disciples did in our story, in our gospel story today. They may have been upset, I assume they were upset, but they didn't thrash around in the boat. They didn't accidentally grab the sides and tip it either. They didn't cry, which I think I might have done. They didn't yell. They didn't make any really rash decisions. They didn't imagine that they were going to be able to solve the problem by themselves. And they did something really wise. They immediately turned their attention to Jesus. How different our panic would be if our first thought was to take up that same humble posture and admit to Jesus that we're afraid. To admit, I don't know what I'm doing, Jesus. I have no idea. I'm in a mess. I need help. The disciples did that, and that really impresses me about them. But more impressive, of course, is what happened next in the boat. Jesus stepped in, and he made everything okay, and he said, "Peace, be still." And I know he was talking to the waves, but I have a suspicion he was also talking to the disciples. They needed to be told, "Relax, be at peace, I've got this." That is, to me, where the story becomes so valuable in this age we live in that is so full of anxiety. We know panic differently than many of the generations that came before us because we don't actually face real physical danger most of the time. But we live in this weird state of exhaustion, and are surrounded by media-driven fear. Newspapers and magazines right now are telling us to worry about the economy and rising interest rates, and we also hear about how the earth is headed for total and absolute destruction, and it's going to happen really fast. And our children are always at risk, somehow, the media tells us, of being abducted somewhere. And technology makes us feel like everything is urgent. It has to be right this minute. And the standards for success are always going up. Add to that the fact that we don't have nearly enough snow days in our lives. We have less quiet time than we've ever had, less downtime, and absolutely less sleep than our grandparents or great-grandparents would have had. It's no wonder that we and our children are living with such anxiety. In this anxious state, the very worst thing we can do is grab the gunnels, trying to solve it all by ourselves. The very best thing that we can do is turn toward the one who has the power to actually sort things out and make things okay. It is God who has power over everything. We've been singing about that this morning in our hymns. God has the power and not us. Our God is constantly working, calming and steering and forgiving and restoring and repairing and redeeming. But we are subject to all the limits of being human. We couldn't still those waves if we had 100 years to do it. We are finite creatures. We have very limited powers. We don't have all the answers. And as depressing as that might sound, in the end, I think it is good news. Because if God is God, it means that you are not. Everything is not up to you. You can give up trying to make everything work out the way that you think it should. You can let go and you can let things be. Somebody else is going to have to still the storm because that is beyond your capabilities. That's what Jesus teaches us today. You can't do it, but someone can. It's hard, however. It's a great theory, but it's really hard to practice. I think that it actually does take practice. It's something to prepare for. It's sort of like a muscle that we need to exercise. And sometimes it takes some effort to figure out how not to grab the gunnels in a state of panic. One of the people I really admire who has done work in this is a poet named Wendell Berry. He wrote a poem. It's only in 2018. It was published in a book called The Peace of Wild Things. And I wonder, it's not very long. I want to read it for you. It's very beautiful. Listen. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life or my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. Lying beside still waters, Wendell Berry found his place, finds his place among God's creatures. That is a regular practice for him, a spiritual practice. Going out under a starry sky and breathing a deep breath can also be helpful for us. It can help you take your place beneath the stars and the planets again. To remember those planets are all still turning every day without any effort on your part. Meditation is popular these days. I have a great app on my phone for meditation. I think that that can help open the door to peace too. When you can stop and concentrate on breathing, you remember you are mortal. Someone gave you that breath. Someone beyond you is at work in your life. You know, one of the reasons I was excited to begin work at Creef Hills, I just started in September after being in the parish for 20 years. I was drawn to it because it's a part of the church where that kind of contemplative spiritual practice is nourished. Pastors like Janet, she's been tucked away in the Pines, which is a beautiful little spot. She's been tucked away to have some time, to have some quiet, to walk, to be at peace, to connect with Scripture. People of all kinds, it's not just ministers, come and they do the same thing. We have 250 acres out behind our buildings, and there are wooded trails. And people go and walk those trails, and they see trilliums, and they see trees, and they remember it is God who makes those, not me. It's a safe place to take a breath, to take our place in a world where God is actually in charge. Whether we are there or not, the birds will sing, and the snow will fall, and the sun will faithfully rise and set through no effort of ours. I know that the world tells us that we are masters of our own destiny. We can make our dreams come true if only we do the right thing or buy the right thing or go to the right place. But those of us who follow Jesus know it is just not true. We are not self-made, and we cannot save ourselves. It is good when we take up spiritual practices that help us remember that truth. We need to learn that we can stop pretending like we have everything all under control. We can't. But we know someone who does. And he's right here in the boat with us, no matter how big the panic is. No matter where we go and no matter what storms we face, the God who is revealed to us in Jesus teaches us that he does have the power. And he will use it for our good and for the good of the world. This is good news for us today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.